And God does miracles for us. We need to thank Him. And we need to tell others about the miracle working power of God. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of John. The book of John will be in the 9th chapter most of the morning. Recently, I started studying about the miracles of Jesus Christ. He performed all those wonderful miracles while He was here. And 9 times in the 4 Gospels, the word miracle is mentioned. And the word miracles, plural, is mentioned 23 times. And in the 4 Gospels, we see 37 miracles performed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in the book of Matthew, He records 23 of those. And in the book of Mark, He records 20. And in the book of Luke, 21. And in the book of John, which we're going to be in today, He records 8. 6 of those are not mentioned in any other Gospels. And you start studying about why John mentioned it. And all I can say is the Lord is the one that inspired the writers. Every word is inspired, infallible, and inerrant. And so the Lord had each one of these writers of the gospel to declare and to put in detail that which He wanted us to know. We know that the word of God is not all God knows, but it's what He wanted us to know. If we read it and understand Him. And these wonderful miracles that He did, the first one He did is recorded in the book of John, nowhere else. Remember, water was turned into wine. It's Cana of Galilee, the beginning of miracles. And then the second miracle also is recorded in the book of John, nowhere else. And the Bible says this is the second miracle. And it says this is the first miracle. So there's no confusion on it. The Bible is very clear. And that was when the nobleman, remember, had a son. And he requested that Jesus, now Jesus was in Capernaum, he requested Jesus to go and pray for that son. Well, he said that son is healed. And when he got back home, we found out the same time Jesus said those words is when the son was healed. And then the last miracle, number 37, is also recorded in the book of John. And we're going to look at that briefly also. But I want to spend time this morning on the 26th. To me, all of them very important, obviously. And every miracle, there's a message. There is not just a healing and not just turning the water into wine, but there's a message, something God wanted us to know, in particular that He describes here. Remember, the 6 water pots, they were clay. Reminder that we were but clay. And then they were filled with water. And then He changed that and made wine out of that. And now we understand that He can take us, just clay, and He can mold us and make us and give us the Spirit of God, which the wine represents. And every one of them has a message in it, more than one. And then the nobleman, remember, God's in heaven right now, and Jesus is that right side. But it shows us that He doesn't have to be here face to face. Miss Sandy sang a beautiful song. He is here. He is here. That's wonderful. He's in heaven, but He's here. And that second miracle describes that. And of course, the last miracle mentioned was also in the book of John. And that was about the miraculous draught of fishes. Remember, Jesus had went out with His disciples before and said, cast out, cast the nets down. And they caught so many, some of them were broken. Not this time. The fish that were caught by number, they told us the number, and they were large fish, and not a one of them was able to get back out of the nets, which tells us the message that He's going to send us in the field, and all that He's already said in the wonderful Word of God, that all the Father gives Him, none's going to be lost. No, not one. And God has ascribed and given every one of us an opportunity to be that soul winner, to go out. And let me remind you that the message is that all that we bring to Christ, and the light shines, and they're illuminated, and then they believe they will be eternally saved. So there's a message in every one of them. But let's look at the message in the book of John, chapter 9, about the 26th miracle. It's about the man that was born blind. First verse. And as Jesus passed by. Oh, he passed by. He is here. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, said, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. Remember, we'll come back to that. The one that sent me, the word sent, what I want to look at. While it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And we're told in the book of John also that he was that light, and in him is no darkness. The world was in darkness, but the light shined, the glorious light of Jesus Christ. He is the one that came from heaven, came down, and he was sent by the Father, and he touches blind eyes. You and I were in our sins. We were born that way. So the message here shows us about the one that was born blind, and Jesus is going to let him receive his sight, and we're going to look at the ways in this parable that he received his sight, a process. And it represents you and I, that which was lost, born that way, shapen in iniquity. Oh, you say, my mother and father were godly people. That's wonderful. Mine were too. But I was born in sin. So were you. And the man was born blind. And he passed by. See, everything in the Word of God, particularly the miracles and everything, was orchestrated by God at the right place, at the right time, with the right emphasis to give a message. Not just a blind man was healed. Wonderful. Thank God he was healed. But it was more than that. It's a message to you and I about every one of us that came into this world lost and undone. A beggar we were. And we came and we were lost, helplessly lost, because we were blind. But Jesus passed by. Now when he passes by, there's opportunity for things to happen. Remember when the disciples were out on the sea and the storm was there and they were rowing, getting nowhere, and Jesus appeared. And the scripture says if they had not invited him on board their ship, he would have went on by. I wonder how many times the Lord has come to you and I in the storms of our life. He was there. He presented himself some way or the other, but we were so busy with our worries and fears that we didn't recognize it was him maybe, and he passed on by. Oh, but he wants to come on. He wants to come in and deal with us. So let's look at some other scriptures, first of all, that help us understand about these miracles, why God did the miracles. In John chapter 20, in verse 29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So we see not only did he perform miracles for the message there was in it, but he also performed miracles that they would believe who he was, that he was sent from God, he was a Son of God. And many times the Word of God, he did those things. We just read this morning, he must work the works of him that sent him. He is doing what he needs to do, and he will in your life and mine and all the people, that he may present himself as a Son of God that died for our sins. Now, it's up to us whether or not we accept that and believe it. We're going to look how the blind man received it also. John 21, 24. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Oh, thank God for the miracles. And we only are familiar with those that he wants us to be familiar with. But he said if all the things that he accomplished in those 3.5 years that he was here was written, the big world. If you've traveled a little bit, it's a big world out there. But he says, can you imagine? Well, he created the world. And he spoke it into existence. And he knows everything that has gone on, what is going on. And he knows full well, as the sister said, what will go on, because he's God. And he can do anything that he describes to do. And he has offered you and I that which was born blind, that was shaped in iniquity, salvation. Thank God he came to us, the precious Holy Spirit. Unless he comes to us and helps us realize that we're hopelessly blind, nothing's going to happen. But let's keep reading just a little bit. In verse 5 it says this chapter, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. What does this represent? It represents as the clay did in the first, possibly in the first miracle, I believe, that you and I were just clay. Remember what he did to Adam? He had made a beautiful world, and he had made the animals. But then he scooped down and got a lump of clay, which he had already made, and he formed it into man. And man was still just an object until the Bible says, and the Spirit of God breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the only way you and I that are dead and shaped in iniquity and are beggars in this world are going to have a spiritual life is for God to breathe in that life. And he wants to. That's why he died. That's why he gave his life, so he may give us eternal life. And then we see that he put that clay on his eyes, which represents the fact, again, he's already born blind. He's going to stay blind, but now he has to do something. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. And I've told you this before, but the first time I went to Jerusalem, I was able to go down to the Gihon Springs. And the pool of Siloam is fed by the Gihon Springs. And that is called the Virgin Fountain. And now the Virgin, of course, the Virgin-born Son of God. So that represents also. So he was sent, and we already read where God sent him. And now it is by interpretation, the pool of Siloam is, by interpretation, called sin, the pool of sin. Why is it like that? Because the waters flow from the virgin spring down there. And God instilled in me to go down to the virgin spring. Everybody else had gone. It was just me. And the Lord said, dip your finger in that water, virgin spring water, and dip it on the tip of your tongue. And I want to anoint you to speak the things of God. And, of course, Satan was saying, can you imagine how many germs that don't carry American passports are in that water that you know you're over here and you may get all kinds of disease. I disregarded all that and I did this sin and I dipped my finger and put it on my tongue. And then he said, I remember that water flowed from there into the pool of Siloam. He said, dip it in again and anoint both your eyes so you can see the things I want you to see. Quickly, I did that. So this particular man, now that was born blind, followed instruction. And as soon as he washed in the pool of water that was represents Christ, it was Christ. He sent him to himself. And he sends you and I. God sent his son into this world. And he sends us to Christ Jesus. Because we're just clay. We're just dead in trespasses and sin. And as soon as he was obedient to what Christ said, he came seeing. Let's see what else happened. Now, he could see, he had sight, but you see, he still didn't have Christ. This is how people miss it. The Lord showed me so clearly how a lot of people miss salvation. This is really important. People miss salvation because the Lord Jesus Christ comes and illuminates and gives conviction. And we see Christ Jesus. Now, Christ was standing there, and he saw him. And then when the Pharisees and the religious crowd came to him and said they didn't like the idea at all, and they were trying to say that Jesus was a blasphemer and he wasn't really God. And who did this? Testify to me. I don't know. he was a man. And then later on he said, well, he was a prophet. And they said, he was a sinner. He said, well, I know enough of the scripture to know that if he is a sinner, then he couldn't do any miracle, couldn't be a sinner. But he still wasn't saved. And when the Holy Spirit comes to someone and shows them, they're lost. And if they accept that, he anoints them so they can see. But you still aren't saved because you have to do some accepting. And when Jesus comes and the Holy Spirit comes and anoints us at conviction, that's a touch of God. You never felt anything before until you felt a touch of God. See, he could see physically now, but there was something else you had to do. He had to see spiritually. Preachers can't tell anyone how to see spiritually. Mother and father does all they possibly can to rear their children, hopefully, in the house of God. And we teach them what the Word of God says. But only the Spirit of God, by the Jesus Christ that was sent from the Father, can touch an individual and illuminate their mind. Now, they can see. We see physically, every one of us, fortunately, we do. And if Jesus was standing here, we would see him physically. But we're still not saved quite yet. He identified that, yes, he was a man, sinner, no. I don't know who he was, but I know that if he were able to touch my blinded eyes and I obeyed what this man said, I believe that he was not a sinner. That's, I know. And probably he was a prophet. Let's read this together. In verse 23. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. There's another thing. When children get that touch of God, whether they're five or whatever, I was 12 years old when God came to me and showed me I was lost. But whenever the age of accountability is, it's different for every individual. Parents can pray for them. They can't make that decision. The parents even says, he's of age, ask him. Dealing with the Holy Spirit, when he illuminates your mind and shows us that we're lost, and he enables us to see a little bit. We haven't seen spiritually yet, but if we'll keep following that light, remember, Jesus is the light of the world. And when he touches us spiritually and starts illuminating their mind, that is the light of the gospel, the light of Jesus Christ, starting to illuminate their minds. A lot of people see that and they want to be saved maybe, and maybe emotion sets in, and they say, okay, I've felt the touch. I see clearly, but there's something else. You're making salvation complicated. No. I'm just following the precepts of what this parable tells us. You can't miss it. And this represents you and I that was dead in trespasses and sin, born that way, and how the Holy Spirit works in our life. He anoints us to see, and if we follow him and go and realize that it's God that sent us. If you don't believe it, I've talked to people, and you probably have too, that don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. You can't get saved if you don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. I've heard people say, well, I believe he's a good man. Not good enough. That won't get you in. I believe he's a prophet. This man said also, he was a prophet. Let's read the text. In verse 25, he answered. Then again, they asked the man that was blind, verse 24, and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Oh, by the way, you don't get salvation by going straight to the Father. You go through the Son. See, God has given his Son power over all principalities, all powers, and in the name of Jesus. Now, I know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the one are three, and the three are one, but we have to realize a lot of religions today try to get to God and bypass Jesus. Won't happen. We go through the blood. We go through, thank you for the song this morning, Calvary. The old rugged cross, one landmark that leads us to God. Calvary, where the blood was shed. We have to go the way of the cross. And they were trying to say, give God, get to God. It was God that did it, but God sent his Son. And God made him the propitiation, the sin bearer. Look carefully. He answered and said to them, whether it be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that which I was blind, now I see. I don't know much yet, but I know I'm seeing clearly, not spiritually yet. But I see more than I did see. I was blind, I couldn't see anything. Unless conviction comes in and sets on an individual and removes the scale of blindness, spiritually speaking, you'll never get to God. In fact, you can't get to God without going through the man Jesus. Religion bypasses. Oh, most every religion's got a God. But the God that we serve has a son, and his name is Jesus. You don't bypass Jesus. He's the only way we're going to get to heaven. And he hasn't got there yet. He sees all right. He's got sight, but it's a physical sight. But look what happens. The next verse, he says, then said they to him again, What did he do thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? We also be his disciples. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. See, the religious crowd wanted to go through Moses to get to God. Can't do that. This man knew one thing. He was blind. Now he sees. He wants to know more. And a lot of people have that touch of illumination, that's conviction, and they think they're satisfied with that. Never felt this feeling before. And they make a mistake because they haven't dealt with the Savior yet. They haven't repented. They haven't worshiped him. They haven't made him Lord. It's a package deal. When Jesus saved me, there was as if all I had to do was just believe the report. Yes, he touched my heart. I knew I was lost. And I knew I couldn't do anything. Mom and Dad was probably there praying with me. I'm sure they were. I don't want to sound harsh or anything, but whether they were or not wouldn't have kept me or prevented me or really helped me because it's just a personal relationship, you and God. And now he's interested. A lot of people have the light and they don't want to march toward that light. You know what happens? If light is given and light is refused, more darkness. More darkness than ever before. But he wanted to know more. Religion can't help him. They're confusing him. And sometimes people confuse you. And nobody can get you saved except the Holy Spirit sent by God to direct you to the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus. They reviled him. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fella, we know not from whence he is. So religious crowd can't get saved. Until he finds out who Jesus is, he can't get saved. You say, well, he can see. Physically, he can see, but he's got a little way to go spiritually. But we'll get there. God will get him there. The man answered and said, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, and doeth his will, let him hear. Him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. He's of God. He's a prophet. Still don't know who he is. They answered and said to him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and doth thou teach us? And they cast him out. See, religious crowd didn't want anything to do with Jesus. And furthermore, they didn't want anything to do with him because he was not going through religious exercises, going through Moses to get to God. And so religion don't want that. But thank God I know somebody that does want him. And he'll show up. He's on the outside right now. He has given him directions to get to the pool of Siloam to himself. He has put he has anointed him. He has brought conviction. And he knows something's happened physically, but not spiritually quite yet. And then Jesus, remember, this man wants more light. He wants to know within his heart. He wants to know more about the one that's already helped him physically. And without the physical sight, which represents the spiritual sight, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Doth thou believe on the Son of God?" Didn't say, "Did you believe on God the Father?" God the Father sent the Son. He said, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" That's the only way we're going to get to God, is through the Son of God. He answered and said, "Lord, who is he that I might believe on him? With all my heart, I want to believe on the Son of God." He had heard others condemn him. He had heard a religious crowd condemn him. No doubt he had heard a lot sitting there begging. But all of a sudden now he had encountered, he had met the one and the only one that can give him eternal life. And he said, "Lord, I believe." And Jesus said in verse 37, "Thou hast both seen him, and it was he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. At this point, he believed that Jesus is the Son of God. He already knows that this man has power to heal. He knows, and he thinks he's a prophet. He knows he's a good man. He knows he's not a sinner, or else God couldn't use him. But only when he came to grips with the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, has done this, and I believe in him. See how simple salvation is? And you also see how simple it is to miss it. When you take that touch of God, that conviction, and you assume that the touch of God, which is a real feeling, I'm telling you, but until he enables us to see him for who he is, and to know that it's him and him alone that saves us by his power divine, and we commit ourselves to him, I believe the light has shined. He has led him to himself. He wants to know more. And anyone that wants to know more about Jesus, then he will enable us. He will appear to us just like he did it. Have I ever seen him? No, it was spiritually speaking. I knew that Jesus was there with me by the precious Holy Spirit. Look what happens at this point. "Thou hast both seen him, and is he that talked with thee?" And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." See, he saw physically, but it took more than that. It takes spiritually, and man can't do that. Only when he gives us the power and the faith to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And once we realize he is the one that died for sins, he and he alone can save us, and then we believe and we accept him, we repent of our sins with a godly sorrow, and he says, "I'll in no wise cast thee out." But a lot of people, like this man, he could have mistakenly listen to religion and said, "Okay, I can see now, everything's well, I'm going to heaven." The Jews missed it because they wouldn't go to heaven. They didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God. So they were lost and would stay lost. And he could have mistaken it. A lot of people mistake it. Would you stand? Your heads are bowed, Brother Randy. Song of invitation. Such a simple message in this wonderful 26 miracles Jesus did. John alone, and only John, is the one that described it. God had the purpose in that. And Jesus has passed by this morning. Did he pass your way? He'll stay there as long as need be if you will take that light. He is the light of the world. And you will understand who he is. You may have before mistakenly had a feeling, but only when you believe and know that it's he and he alone, and you're a sinner. This man knew that. He was born that way. Whatever your need this morning, would you come? Salvation is offered. It's not church membership. It's not just easy believism. It's accepting Jesus, the precious Son of God, who will come. servant. Still in there, if any sick among you, let me call for the elder church. We're going to pray. We realize that the oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. And faith, believing. He wants to do that with that. Would the deacons and the preachers come up here, please, and we'll just follow. I believe strictly in following the precepts of God's word. Can't go wrong. Don't bypass it. Don't get around it. Don't be ashamed of it. Just follow the instructions. And John is doing that this morning in faith, believing. He's have surgery tomorrow. Very serious from man's standpoint. God's in heaven. He sent his son. He sent the blessed Holy Spirit to direct us, enable us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, anoint my brother John in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son. In the name of the blessed Holy Spirit, believe in the Scripture. If any sick among you, and Father, He's done that. That's our little part. Now we're looking to a God that sent His Son with all power to do another miracle. He did many. And John told us in this book that if all and everything was written that He accomplished in 3.5 years, the whole world could contain the volume of the books. A lot of works. And you're still in heaven working. Never have. We're trusting. We're believing. We're accepting. In Jesus' name, your will. Touch him, I pray for him. Amen. Amen. Love you, brother. Pray much for that. As they're sitting back down this morning, have you ever been in a dark place where you couldn't see anything? That's the way we were in their sin life. Like the blind man, if you shut your eyes or in a dark place, you can open your eyes all you want to, but if you're in a dark place, you can't see. I remember my wife and I just got married, and we were in Washington, D.C. We lived up there for a while, and we went to Luray Caverns, which are about 90 miles away. And as we were walking through there, they turned the lights off, and there you couldn't see nothing. We kept walking, and I got my wife's hand. We kept walking. But when I got her hand, she slung it. If you just got married, you know the feeling. You know, what did I say? What did I do? How did I act? What caused this? So we walked a little farther, and I got it again, and she really slung it loose that time. I said, well, I'm in a heap of trouble. And I didn't know how big a trouble I was in until we got where there was light. And that lady, which wasn't my wife, she gave me the sourest look. And my wife didn't know what was going on. So we got to the car and I told her. She said, did you apologize to the lady? I said, what are you going to say? I thought she was my wife. Anything I would say, but I'm telling you, darkness is an awful thing. And we're in this world without Jesus. We're in worse shape than that. Thank God for the light of the world. His name is Jesus. He came and illuminated us. Showed us. He didn't leave us after. He was still there, remember. When he got to him, identified himself, I am he. Son of God. Didn't take much then for him to, I believe, and worship. Praise the Lord. Don't forget service tonight. So happy to have everyone. If you've got this in your heart, you unite with our church, our new memberships committee is going to come right here and stand as we're dismissed. Brother Gunn, if you'll come dismiss us. And again, thank all the visitors for being here. Thank God for all he's doing in their midst. Thank him that he passed by. He's still passing by. If you've got to put on your heart, unite with church, come see them. Make sure you understand that church membership, that you have questions to ask, they'll be able to help you. Brother Gunn, go ahead and dismiss.
That next Sunday morning, immediately after service, have a quick youth choir practice. So next Sunday morning after the service, youth choir practice. And we have some revival CDs, DVDs out in the vestibule that Brother Gary and Sister Gail has made. Brother Leonard Fletcher, Mike Bagwell, and so many of the preachers that's been here in revival the past several years are out there. So they're for you to take, and remember that as you leave tonight. Father, we want to thank you for your mercy, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for the message we heard this morning. Thank you, Father, you are the light of the world. You are the good shepherd. You are the bread of life. Lord, we thank you that you are the door. And Father, the Bible says if any man enter in, we can go out and find pasture. And Lord, I pray, Father, if there's any among us this morning that's never truly been saved, born again, Father, we sang and talked about the blood and the miracle. Lord, I pray you give them another chance to call upon your name. Lord, let them see their need of salvation. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. I pray for those, Father, that are going through surgeries, through doctor's appointments this week. Lord, you'd help them, give them peace and comfort, and we'll give you the praise and honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.